Taking Stock with Pim Fox.
Good question. What's going on here? You see stocks up one day, down the next. Where are they headed? That's what we want to get to here on Taking Stock on Bloomberg. I'm Dave Wilson, along with Pim Fox. And here to help us answer that question, Tom Sawanek, the Chief Investment Officer at Omnivest Group. Tom, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hey, Dave.
So, looking at the S&P 500, it peaked just below 1350, just before the President's Day holiday. And since then, it's been pretty much up and down. Is this a time where people should be looking to buy in anticipation of the next rally or worried about the next decline? Or are we just going to sit here for a while?
I don't think we're going to sit here for very long. I think that I think we're still in a major bull market for stocks, and it'll yet to be determined whether we're in a secular bull market or not. But one thing that I've noticed over the last several weeks is that we've put in higher lows when we've had down days, and that typically is suggested that the uptrend is still in place. So we had a low back in mid-February. We had another low in early March. And then if you look at today, again, each time we have these lows, they're higher than the preceding low. So I'm very constructive on the equity market.
Tom Sawanek, what's the difference? What's a secular bull market? Is that like a tiny bull? Is that like a bear cub, you know, bull cub? Is that a calf? What is a secular bear market, bull market? What does that mean?
It's an old bull that's been cloned into a younger bull.
Where can we buy that? That sounds pretty good.
When we talk about secular, we talk about very, very long term in terms of years. And this bull market started in the early 80s. And I'm of the belief that it's going to continue and that we'll take out the old highs that we saw back in 2008 at 15, I think we're 1565 on the S&P. And what gets me there is, one, the under-ownership of equities in the U.S. Two.
Why do you say under-ownership? As if that's, there's some hard and fast rule that says they've got to own a certain amount of equities?
I think there was an author, writer, whatever you call this fellow, market practitioner, named Harry Dent, who wrote a book a couple years ago that said that the equity market would peak somewhere in 2007, 2008, and then would go down for the next 15 or 20 years. His rationale was that baby boomers, as they retire or get to that age where they're supposed to become more conservative, they'll take money out of fixed income and put them, or out of equities and into fixed income. It's my view.
Or just take them out of equities and spend it.
Spend it. But my view is that the returns that are offered in the fixed income market, not just today, but for the last 2 years, are suboptimal for any growth, suboptimal for any maintenance on food, and suboptimal to build a retirement. And so as we...
Yeah, but Tom, I mean, can't you make the case that one of the reasons people are so interested in fixed income is that word fixed, that they at least believe that they're going to get that lump sum payment back when the bond matures, and that because they may have gotten burned by stocks, they're so risk-averse, and I know you're going to talk about risk, but they're so risk-averse that investing in the stock market, they can't sleep at night if they invest in the stock market.
Well, year-to-date, every point along the coupon curve of the Treasury market has a negative price return, which means that even if you're in the two-year, you have dead money for 2 years. Dead money meaning that you can't get out of it unless you sell at a loss. So,
but you can hold it for those 2 years, and then you get your money back.
I can hold it for 2 years, and I can earn 1 point. What is the yield on the 2 year now? 1 point two. No, 2 year is 0.69.
Yeah, 0.7.
That's wonderful. That can't get me a cup of coffee at Starbucks, 0.69.
You know, Pim, I got to say, you know, the way you're laying out the scenario, that sounds like last year's scenario. Because let's face it, investors have been burned in the bond market in the last 6 months. You're seeing the numbers
they've
out of the mutual fund.
But they've been burning the bond market if indeed you look at capital price appreciation, right?
Well, yeah, you got to start somewhere, though. And there's no doubt that if you look at the mutual fund numbers, investors are moving into stocks and away from bonds, which they really had focused on for like 2.5 years. And Tom Sawanek, how does that change the equation in terms of where stocks are headed?
Well, I think that when you look at credit spreads, which is the alternative to just interest rates, credit spreads are very narrow. They're not at their narrowest point, but they're grinding narrower. And we take, you know, weeks like we had last week, and we say, okay, we had a very choppy market in the equity market. We had a very bad Friday. And at the end of the week, you look at week-over-week spread movement, and we find that high-yield spreads and
we've got more with you, Tom Sawanek. Hang in there. We've got more with Tom Sawanek of Omnivest Group. This is Taking Stock on Bloomberg.
Things could go right.
Maybe there's easy money out there if you're borrowing, but if you're lending, you're not making very much. Our guest is Tom Sawanek. He is co-president and chief investment officer at Omnivest Group. All right, Tom Sawanek. So this idea that you're not going to get very much money lending your cash to the U.S. government, what kinds of stocks do you buy?
I think you're supposed to be buying industrials, financials.
Financials, really?
Consumer discretionary. And the one of the things that's happening, and you know, when you look at the markets very, very closely, and we use on Bloomberg your RRG function, which is a relative sector function, what we find is that for the last 5 weeks, financials have been in the leading sector, which is important, and that's with its energy is there as well as industrials. So it looks to me that we're having a classic economic rebound followed with a classic equity rebound here.
Does that classic rebound come with a classic amount of quantitative easing from the Ben Bernanke in Washington, D.C.? Because it seems as though every paragraph I read has this disclaimer that says, uh-oh, wait for them to pull away from quantitative easing, from spending money on treasuries and parking them at the Federal Reserve.
And so let's follow that out. So quantitative easing ends. Treasury yields presumably are supposed to rise. And what are investors supposed to do? Go to those sectors that do not have an overburden of debt. Well, that would be corporate America. They have an overburden of cash. So if we look at about the dead money we talked about earlier in the show, but think about the opportunity cost for staying in the safety of fixed income as opposed to moving into the corporate arena through equities. Since this rally started, and we're going to have our second anniversary this week on March 9th, equities are up roughly 80%, and the safety of the two-year note is up 3.5%.
Yeah, but that takes into account the notion that you caught the equity market right at the bottom, Tom.
Or I could catch maybe half of it or a third of it.
And then you'd be back to where you were how many years ago?
No, that's assuming, Pim, that I didn't sell as it was rising. The point being is that, you know, you're supposed to be scaling in and out of fixed and equities when markets move, you know, aggressively ahead. So always rebalancing the portfolio. At the end of the day, zero interest rates at the Federal Reserve are just not sustainable. The counter side of it is that if Helicopter Ben and his buddy Bill Dudley from the New York Fed continue to preach quantitative easing and low interest rates, then it's only going to punish the dollar. And that's just going to keep foreign investors leery of putting marginal capital back into the U.S.
You punish the dollar, and then the cost of commodities goes up, right, Dave Wilson?
Yep. That's sort of how it works. And then the question becomes, I mean, to what extent do rising commodity prices become a drag on the economy? And I guess by extension, a drag on the stock market.
Well, we will have price pass through from the commodity level to the producer level. And will that move into the, you know, to the retail level? Yet to be determined. But one thing that is counterintuitive to the economy is because of the high level of unemployment that we have, is that the unemployed will not suffer in a way that they would have in 2006 when they were gainfully employed from the rise in oil. And I know it's a little bit of a silver lining, but those that are unemployed simply aren't going to be using their vehicles as much. Two is that at some point we have to ask ourselves, where's our energy policy? And why is it that Obama is talking about tapping the oil reserves because oil prices have risen above 100? Why can't they ask the consumer to stop driving as much?
Well, I'll give you this little data point, Tom Sawanek, and also Dave Wilson, get your thought on it briefly. The Department of Energy, founded during the Carter administration, was that 33 years ago? The idea explicit in the founding of the DOE was to establish a national energy policy. So where are we, right? Mm-hmm. Right, Tom?
Yep, we're nowhere.
We're nowhere. We're still nowhere. All right, we're going to leave it there. I want to thank you very much, Tom Sawanek. He is the co-president and chief investment officer of Omnivest Group. You can tell he's pretty bullish on stocks, right, Dave Wilson?
Well, you can. There's no question. I mean, given what we've seen so far, you know, looking at those last 2 years, and Wednesday is that anniversary of when the S&P 500 hit bottom. It's been quite a 2 years. You know, you've seen the index go up and almost double. You don't get that every day.
You can subscribe to Bloomberg's premium podcast service at Bloomberg.com/Tom Keene and listen to Taking Stock weekday afternoons at 3 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on satellite radio, Sirius Channel 130 and XM Channel 129. Copyright 2011, Bloomberg LP.